Glad that you're able to come back again tonight. We want to thank you for all the accommodations, your hospitality. We want to thank you for the hostesses, the host and the hostess, this hostess with the mostesses. Amen. Amen. And, you know, I just, you know, for the lunch and, you know, your accommodations, the room over there, we got a great favor with God. But anyhow, God provided for us to rest and relax this afternoon, and even tonight, because we're not going to drive home tonight, amen. Especially on the 2 hours of sleep that I got last night. I tried to take a nap today, and I got a 10-minute power nap, and that'll sustain me for a while. But if you see me pass out, John, take over. Where's John? Amen. Or somebody, or Dan, or Dave. Hi, Dave. You know, we're proving that Dave is. We make a good team. You know, he finishes the messages real well. He did a great job today concerning the altar and that sort of thing. But in any event, talk about exciting things happening. Well, today as I was just putting some thoughts together, and I was thinking, Lord, you know, I really don't have enough time to really put this message on paper. And the thought occurred to me, well, why don't you, you know, preach without notes? And I'm thinking, okay, I've done that. And well, guess what? I left my notes, at least half of them, over at the hotel when I came here tonight. So I don't have any notes. But I do have the word in my heart. And I'm just going to trust God to remind me of the things that he wants me to talk about tonight. And so if you'll pray, then we'll get the message out. Besides, you won't know what I had an intention to preach on tonight. She said I shouldn't have told him anything. Yes, dear. But anyhow. We'll just trust God to speak to me and through me. Amen. Did I leave my glasses too? I mean, my wife's glasses? No, here they are. I'd like to start with a song. I'm not sure if you're familiar with this song, but I think that you will be. The title of the song is I Wish I Had Given Him More. Pardon me while I try to find the page. It's not in your book. Here we go, 412. Are you still there? Nobody left or walked out yet, right? Okay. So without my notes, I'm likely to preach, not preach as long. Is that all right? I didn't hear an amen. I felt it, though. By and by, when I look on his face, beautiful face, thorn-shadowed face. By and by, when I look on his face, I wish I had given him more. More, so much more. More of my life than I ever gave before. By and by, when I look on his face, I wish I had given him more. By and by, when he holds out his hands, welcoming hands, nor nail-riven hands. By and by, when he holds out his hands, I wish I had given him more. More, so much more, more of my love than I e'er gave before. By and by, when he holds out his hands, I wish I had given him more. in the light of that heavenly place. Light from his face, beautiful face, in the light of that heavenly place. I wish I had given him more, more, so much more. Treasures unbounded for him I adore. By and by, when I look on his face, I wish I had given him more. Beloved, what birthed that song was this thought. When we see the King, I believe I speak not only for myself, but all of you. Yea, everyone, when we see him, will wish we had given him more. I believe that the one thing that God wants more than anything else from us, I believe that he wants us to give him our hearts. In a few moments, I'll give you some reasons why I believe that. One of the reasons why is because if you look over in Proverbs chapter 23, Proverbs chapter 23, look with me, please. We'll look at some scriptures tonight. Proverbs chapter 23. And please, when you get there, he makes this request. He says, my son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. Give me your heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. For my ways are not your ways, neither are my thoughts your thoughts. As the heavens are higher than the earth, and my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Give me your heart and observe my ways from my heart so that you know exactly why I do what I do. And he does everything he does, my brethren, for us, those of us who are saved, because he loves us. Even when he chastens us, God deals with us in love. Can I get an amen? I wish I had given him more of my heart. I wish I had given him all of my heart. I believe that's what he wants more than anything else. This morning, we took our time, and I won't review. We don't need to. We have the recording. If you didn't hear the message, please get the recording. And if you don't get the recording, you'll hear it again. God is faithful to remind us, and the pastor's already told you the things that I spoke of today, and he'll do it again, or somebody will. You know, the message today obviously had everything to do with your New Year's theme, when the King comes. Matter of fact, that was the title of the messages that I preached today, when the King comes, or the King is coming. The King is coming. Will you be ready? Our text was Matthew chapter 24, verse 44. After Jesus explained to his disciples about the events that were going to happen, to tell them the things that are going to happen before he comes back, speaking to the disciples of his day, and of course of this day, the disciples today, he gave us one of the greatest warnings and commands and promises in all of God's word. He said, be also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. He's coming soon and very soon. And the points that I had made in our meditations this morning is that there's two things that we need to consider doing. Certainly there's much more than that. If we hope to be ready when the King comes. If we hope to be confident and unashamed when he comes back, we must first examine ourselves to see whether or not we're in the faith. Not only to see whether or not we're truly saved, because Jesus said, not everyone that cries out, Lord, Lord, is truly saved. Examine yourself to see whether or not you truly are in the faith. And if you examine yourself and determine that, yes, I am saved, then continue to examine yourself and see whether or not you are in the faith. See if you're walking by faith, living by faith, or living a life that is totally and completely dependent upon the King of Kings. We also talked about if we want to be confident and unashamed when the King of Kings comes back. And we want to be ready when we need to be found seeking his kingdom and his righteousness first. We spoke a lot about that. And let me encourage you to get the message. Well, seek out what that means and examine yourself and see if you are seeking the king and his kingdom and his righteousness, his righteous living. If you are keeping the spirit of the Ten Commandments, which is God's written standard of his righteousness. Amen. And tonight I want to talk to you about the last point that I meant to mention today. If you want to be confident and unashamed, if you want to be ready when the king comes, according to 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. Would you turn there with me, please? Once again, when you get there, say amen. Amen. 1 John 2, verse 28 says this, and now, little children, not tomorrow, not next year. Now is the accepted time. Amen. And now, little children, those who profess to know Christ as Lord and Savior, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Paul, the Apostle Paul, said to follow me as I follow the Lord. Well, he said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, he said, I am now ready for my departure because I have fought a good fight. I kept the faith. I finished my course. And when the Lord comes back, or in his case, when the Lord comes to get him before the rapture, he said that he's going to get a crown of righteousness. And not only him, but any of us who love his appearing. And any of us who are living their life the way he did, with the rapture or the second coming of God in mind. How are we doing, saints? Once again, I believe the thing that God wants more than anything else from his saints, even the lost, is he wants our hearts. Why do you say that, Pastor? Once again, I'm glad you asked. I don't have all the references that I had this afternoon. Apparently, I don't need them. Otherwise, I'd have them. But let me share a couple of things with you in reference to that. Look with me over to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Proverbs 4, verse 23. keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Let me give you this is an intimate time. This is we're here with family, and we're really talking to the choir. Amen. Well, listen, folks, this is what I want you to do. I want you to talk back to me tonight. I want to learn from you. This is what I'd like for you to do. Quickly, we won't take a whole lot of time to do this. But what do you think that verse means? Keep your heart with all diligence. And here's why. Because out of it are the issues of life. What do you think that means? Dan. Make it your purpose to guard your heart from the influence of people and things that are around you. Why? Because out of it is what? Okay, anybody else? Guard it is, guard yourself. One more person. Keep your hearts with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Anybody else? I want to share a quote with you from a guy by the name, I forgot his name, but anyhow, it's Samuel Rodenheiser. He said this: keep your hearts with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. It would require more than a complete lifetime to fully grasp the wisdom found in the Proverbs. Fortunately, we can glean some of the wisdom found there with just a little focus. We begin our exploration of Proverbs with Proverbs 4:23. Please take a moment to read it again. Read it slowly, one phrase at a time. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything flows from your heart. Whether we realize it or not, most of the things we do in life flow from our inner beliefs. We don't always act in harmony with what we say. We don't always act in harmony with our plans, but we nearly always act in a way that reflects our inner beliefs, our core beliefs. I think that with rare exception, people behave in a way that's consistent with what they believe. Someone long ago put it this way: belief determines behavior. Sure, we sometimes choose to act in a way that goes against what we believe. But this produces an uneasiness in us. We recognize our inconsistency. We say, that's just not me. That's just not who I am. But the sad truth is that often it's exactly who we are. And that bothers us even more. Let's address the content of the proverb. It begins with a warning. Keep your hearts with all diligence. Guard your hearts. The word heart does not refer to the muscle of your chest that pumps blood. It refers to the essence of self, the center of our total personality. It refers to who we are at the core, the real you, the real me. When we say that someone has a big heart, we mean they're generous or kind. That's their personality. When we say someone has heart, we mean that they care. It's their personality. We often contrast the head and the heart when we speak. We say his head told him to go ahead, but his heart has the final say. We understand well enough to our own actions and are more likely to flow from our heart than from our head. It's really our heart's desire that spur us into action. So this proverb says that we should guard our heart and should guard above all else. But why? The answer comes in the next phrase. For everything you do, paraphrasing, flows from our heart. It is a motivator, if not the determiner, of our actions. It's a deciding factor in whether we go or stay, whether we continue or stop, whether we buy or sell, whether we work or rest. If our heart or inner emotions and true self is what motivates us to do what we do, then how very often it is that we guard that heart, Mostly we must guard our heart from harmful beliefs. Remember, we act out of the core beliefs. So the guarding of the heart, we shield it from harmful beliefs. I like what he said here, but I think it means a little bit, even a lot more than what he said. I believe that the heart really encompasses the whole spirit, soul, and body. Amen? I believe that the heart is the most important organ in your body. Physically speaking, spiritually speaking, emotionally speaking. Come on, somebody. Amen? God wants our heart because of the significance of the heart. If he gets our heart, he has our life. He'll be able to control our life. And whoever has our heart is going to control our life. It's as simple as that. When the heart stops functioning, if it's physically, you're going to die. When the heart starts functioning spiritually, guess what? You're going to die spiritually. Emotionally. Guard your heart. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows all the issues of life. God knows that. That's one of the reasons why he wants that heart. God does his best work in the hearts of men. Did I say that? Maybe I should qualify that statement by saying at least most of it as it pertains to us. God wants your heart. Let me give you a few other reasons, and you know, time won't permit me, obviously, to really expound on all this, even as I talked about this morning. But let me encourage you to do your own word study on the heart. I believe there's 700 to 800 different references in reference to the heart. It would do well to look at that as we consider how much God really wants that heart. Amen. But there's other reasons why God wants that heart. And I do have part of my notes here. Maybe this is the part that God wanted to help me out with this afternoon. I mean, from a paper standpoint. The king wants us to give him our hearts so that he can turn our hearts toward him. Look at Proverbs chapter 21, verse 1. The word of God says, "The heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord. And as the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he would." Listen, if the heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord, how about your heart? So is your heart and my heart. It's in God's hand. God determines the heart. What goes in our hearts. There's another verse that says the preparation of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. God wants to prepare our hearts. Another place he said he wants to fashion our hearts like his very own heart. God wants to turn our hearts from sin, self, and Satan, and to turn our hearts to him. Give me thine heart, so that I can fashion your heart, so that I can prepare your heart. Look at Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15, if you'll turn there. Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15. Dan, if you'll turn there for me, I'd appreciate it. And while you're saying that, I'd like to reference another verse in Psalms chapter 51, verse 10. The psalmist prayed that God would not only cleanse his heart, but he would create in him a clean heart. Amen? To renew a right spirit in him. You know, you realize that God wants our heart, even though he knows that the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. God knows that. He said desperately wicked. The reason why is he says in another place in the book of Matthew and throughout the Gospels, he said out of the heart comes evil things and adulteries and fornications and murders and you know, all kind of evil things. Because our heart needs to be cleansed by him. He wants our hearts so that he can work in our hearts and change our hearts and create in us a clean heart and give us a heart of worship. Remember that thought. It was one of your themes, amen? Dave, would you read loudly Isaiah chapter, starting with Isaiah 57, verse 15. And I'll repeat after you so that the audience can hear what you're saying. For thus saith the high and the lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and the holy place with him also. Listen, God humbles himself. Amen. And he'll finish reading that verse. But let me say the thought before he even gets there. He humbles himself to dwell in the heart of man. Well, to dwell in your heart. Keep reading, brother. God wants our hearts so that he can revive our hearts. Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15. God wants our hearts. He does his best work in our hearts. He wants to revive our hearts. You know, I'm still working on this, and I wasn't going to share with you because I need to work with it a little bit. So you know what? I won't. I'll leave it alone. Maybe that's why I left my notes at home, because I might have messed this whole thing up. I think we have enough to work with here right now. Amen? And let me remind you where I'm going with this whole thing. Amen. The king is coming. He's coming soon and very soon. He commanded us. He rewards us and he promises us. Three of the greatest promises all in God's word is found in our text. Matthew chapter 24, verse 44. The king said, be also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man is coming. If we want to be ready when he comes, if we want to be confident and not be ashamed when he appears, we must not only examine ourselves to see whether or not we're truly in the faith, living by faith, walking by faith, if we're truly saved. Folks, when and if you get to heaven, you might be surprised when you get there. Well, who's not there? I thought for sure so-and-so was saved. Or who is there? You might look at this person and listen, but that person was saved. He must have just made it in. If you're saved, are you walking by faith, living by faith? Paul said, I am confident and willing rather to be absent from the body than be present from the Lord. Why? He said, because I'm walking by faith, living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, abiding in his great love. From all harm safe in his sheltering arms. The last point that we're making tonight is this. If you want to be confident and unashamed, according to 1 John chapter 2, verse 28, you must be abiding in him. What does it mean to abide in him? We spoke about that, and you taught about that, you preached about that. Are you, whatever, John has taught about that, Dan has taught about, I'm sure Dave has. I know that Pastor has. He always talks about counterfeit fruit. What does it mean to abide in him? In John chapter 15, verses 4 and 5 says this. You can turn there if you like. Jesus is giving this analogy, this parable, this explanation of what it means to abide in him. He said, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. He said, I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. What does it mean to abide in him? It means to begin and continue to remain in close fellowship with him. How long? Until he enables you to bear the only fruit that his spirit produces, the fruit of the spirit, his love. Boy, that's a great evidence of whether or not you're truly saved. Are you close enough to bear the fruit of his likeness? Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. And he's talking to Christians here, primarily in Revelation chapter 3, verses 20 to 22. He said, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I call you by name. He calls us every day. I will come unto him and sup with him. I will have fellowship with him
or her.
I'll abide with them. Where? In the heart. In the inner man. Saints, are you with me tonight? Are you getting the message? Because I'm almost done. Almost. He wants us to give him his heart, our hearts, so that he can enable us to sanctify him in our hearts and be ready to give an answer to every man that asks the reason of the hope in us with meekness and trembling or fear. He wants us to allow to make our hearts a sanctuary for him. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 through 21. And I could, well, brethren, I could say much, much more, but I think this is enough. Why does a king ask us to give him our hearts? Paul prayed for the church. And we can turn to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 through 21. And I'll quote it. Matter of fact, this is a prayer that I often pray. I pray every day for every one of you. I don't call you all by name because I'd still be praying. But I call for the brethren that are here in this church. I pray for your pastor. Just about every day, how Paul prayed. In reference to this whole concept of giving God, the King, our hearts. Paul prayed that God would strengthen us by heart and strengthen us by might, by his spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell or abide or feel at home in our hearts by faith. Why? So that we might be able to comprehend with all the saints. Watch this. What is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height of his love? So that we might know or experience the love of Christ that passes knowledge. As a result of being filled with all of his fullness, fullness of his spirit. Then God will do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think in us and through us by the Spirit of God who is at work in our lives. That is what we've called the ultimate intimate relationship. That abiding relationship with the Lord. Beloved, I believe, according to Scripture, the Lord already knows. When he comes back, one of the things he's going to be looking for, who's abiding in him? And now, little children, abide in him. That when he comes, you may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Are you ready? Are you examining yourself daily to see whether or not you're in the faith, walking by faith, living by faith? Are you seeking his kingdom and his righteousness first? Are you abiding in him? Because he abides in you. If not, then we're not going to be confident. We'll be ashamed. Because we won't be living our lives in view of the rapture or the second coming of Christ. Loving his appearing. Already, my testimony is sometimes I can't wait for him to come back. Sometimes I'm too ashamed. Lord, take just a little bit more longer. Give me a little bit more time. Guess what? That's when he's coming back. If just so happens that you're not doing these things, let me submit to you that as long as you have breath in your body, as long as the Lord tarries, you have time to be confident and unashamed when he comes back. Let me give you an example. This is something you taught me here with one of your themes. You said this. You even had me preach on it. Oh, it was 7, 8 years ago. It was right when Yvonne, remember when Yvonne got sick with the stroke and the heart attack? That was in September in 2013. That's it. How could I forget? And, you know, you were surprised when I came out a few months afterwards. And we did a conference. I preached on that thing, me and a few other preachers. But that week you had me. You were stuck with me. And we were going back and forth from Rochester. And we had this old, this little old car that had no heat in it. It was dead cold in the dead of winter. And we were driving in a snowstorm. We couldn't even, well, I didn't mean to go on that long a bunny trail. But God provided, didn't he? You remember that? That little station wagon, I forget, it was a Sierra. You remember that? Victor looked at me and just shook his head. But you gave me this thing to preach on. It began finishing well. In other words, you know, you can start right now. If you're not faithful right now, you can start right now. Be determined to begin finishing the race well. Here's a great example that we used, and I'll paraphrase for the sake of time a little bit. We used many as an example. We kind of went through the Faith Hall of Faith, the brethren over there. And we chose Enoch, and, you know, at one point You know, Enoch wasn't really following the Lord. He wasn't seeking God's kingdom. But there was a time where he determined he's going to begin finishing well. And that was after his son was born. Amen. And the one that I really like, and I like Enoch, but was Samson. You see, Samson was perhaps the strongest man who ever lived. He was filled with the power of God. And God, he did amazing miracles with his physical strength. But he wasn't strong spiritually. And so he didn't seek the kingdom of God. He sought his own kingdom. Boy, he loved women. And they became his downfall. Delilah tricked him, deceived him. He lost his power when she clipped off his hair. And the Philistines came and captured him and put him to hard labor. And Samson determined in his heart that he was going to begin finishing that race well. And he prayed to God. And he said something like this: Lord, give me your power back so that I can begin finishing well, so that I can destroy these Philistines. God heard him. He gave him his power. And he destroyed him. But in the consequence, in the process, he died. Samson did in that one moment more in that one moment concerning the kingdom of God and his righteousness than he did in a lifetime. As a consequence, Samson's name was written in Faith's Hall of Fame. My brethren, let me encourage you, because I've already made up my mind. I want to start every day with that mindset. Tony, begin today, finishing well, with the King in view. Tony, today, begin seeking his kingdom and his righteousness like you never had before. Tony, examine yourself to see whether or not you're truly in the faith. In other words, Tony, are you living by faith? Are you walking by faith? Are you living a life that is totally, completely dependent upon the King of Kings? Can you say what the Apostle Paul said? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's the crucified life. That's the exchange life. That's the life that the Holy Spirit gives us a desire to have. You don't have that by human nature. Every day, more than ever before, I want to abide in him. When I don't abide in him, I'm all messed up, man. Spiritually, emotionally, mentally. When I'm not abiding in him, people diagnose me as being bipolar. Up and down, up and down. Are you with me tonight? Let me leave you with this song, and I'll be done. In my notes, I had the page written down, so bear with me. It's an old, old hymn that speaks to the heart. There's a stranger. There's a stranger at the door, 298. Pastor, I just hope and pray that I've been a blessing to you today. You certainly have, once again, been a blessing to me and my family. Let me dedicate this song to our pastor. There's a stranger at the door. Let him in. He has been there oft before. Let him in. Let him in ere he is gone. Let him in, the Holy One, Jesus Christ, the Father's Son. Let him in. Open now to him your heart. Let him in. Let him in. If you wait, he will depart. Let him in. Let him in. Let him in. He is your friend. He your soul will sure defend. He will keep to the end. Let him in. Let him in. Hear you now his loving voice. Let him in. Let him in. Now, oh, now make him your choice. Let him in. Let him in. He is standing at your door. Joy to you. He will restore. And his name you will endure. His name you will adore. Let him in. Let him in. Now admit the heavenly guest. Let him in. Let him in. He will make for you a feast. Let him in. Let him in. He will speak your sins forgiven. And when earth ties all are riven, he will take you home to heaven. Let him in. You know, one of the prayers that I prayed was, Lord, help me to be swift to hear and slow to speak. Swift to hear you speak as I speak. And he keeps reminding me to tell you this. I haven't told you this yet. I believe the greatest reason why God wants our hearts. He wants to enable us as we abide in him to experience, embrace, and express his love. First to him. And to embrace his love means to continue to experience that love. To continue to experience, embrace, and express his love to him by loving him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's what he created us for. To love your neighbor as you love yourself. And to love one another the way he loves us. You can't do that in the flesh. And you can't do that unless you give God your heart. Unsaved, he wants you to give him your heart so that he can save you. He wants to prepare your heart to receive the word of God. He wants you to call, to accept him as Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Believe on him enough to call upon the name of the Lord so that he can come and dwell in your heart. By faith. David, I'm ready to go home.